back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. You're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. And, Bob, this is one of my favorite shows of the year because we're going to talk from here forward about a lot of beer. And while you and I get to sample beer every week from our friends at Siciliano, this is a special one because actually Katie Spade from Siciliano's Market, who is their resident beer expert, is joining us for the rest of the show. So with no further ado, Katie, welcome.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for having me here.
You bet. Well, Bob and I are just going to shut up, and you can take over from here.
Yeah, I can't talk. I'm pouring.
Right, yeah. But but anyway.
Yeah. You know what? I love going in and talking with Katie at the store. And if you've never been to Siciliano's, shame on you. It's time. It's on the west side of Grand Rapids on M45. If you want to see a cool beer store, I see billboards around Michigan that say one cool city or something like that for Grand Rapids. Well, this is one cool beer store,
right?
And that should be the next billboard going up, because if you walk in, if you like beer or cigars or hard spirits or
wine,
or if you like to brew your own beer, they're probably the biggest brewery supply seller in West Michigan. So you can't help but just wander around and, I mean, you could spend your retirement there,
right?
Your retirement funds.
Yeah, right. And your whole retirement.
Yeah. Yeah, so, we're the grown-up candy store.
Yes, it is. Yeah, cigars, beer, wine, liquor, and beer making, wine making,
and coffee. So I just like catching up with Katie on. She talks to so many brewers, and I guess I just wanted to know what's going on in the beer scene in Michigan right now, and what should folks be looking for, staying away from, your opinion?
Well, we're getting into fall, so, you know, people are kind of moving away from those lighter lagers and the really crisp beers and moving towards some of the darker stuff. So, like, the one we're drinking right now, it's kind of a nice fall one. It's the Anderson Valley Black Rice Ale. So it's dark. It's got a little bit of that roasty malt going, some of that darker flavor, but it's not too heavy yet. It's not your full-blown January Michigan, I'm hiding inside for 3 weeks beer, but, you know, pretty delicious. It gets you in that fall mood.
Do you suppose they're brewing it with rice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They're with an Asian variety of black rice.
Hmm.
Yep, it's one of the main ingredients in it.
Because I know that, of course, Miller and Budweiser and all those big brewers, that's the bulk of their grain is rice. That's why they can make it so cheap.
Yeah. It has kind of become a four-letter word in the industry. But, you know, when used correctly, when used in conjunction with actual barley and hops and flavor.
This is beautiful.
Yeah, you can make a good beer with it.
What do you think of that, Jop?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. When it said black on there, I was expecting it to be a little heavier than it is. It is an ale, so it's you know, you're not into a porter or anything like that. But, yeah, I'm enjoying it. I mean, you know, just a sip or two here and there. But, you know, this brewery's been around, you know, since 1987, so this isn't their first go at it.
Right.
But Katie, what do you see in the industry? I mean, what are the trends that you're seeing?
You know, things are staying pretty steady at the moment. IPAs, sours are still going to be your big hitters. They're still where the industry is moving. But we had a really great summer for lagers this year. We called it the Pilsner summer at the store. It was great. A lot of variety there. Seeing kind of a return to some of the more traditional styles, where for a while everyone was like, how many ingredients can we throw into a beer?
Right.
It's kind of moving back away from that, right, just a little bit.
Well, those are hard to shop for because, you know, you as an advisor, when you walk into the store, you've got to try to point me in a direction. And when there's so many ingredients in those, it's really difficult to say, well, I like this or I like that. And, you know, that's one of the strengths of Siciliano's is the fact that you can walk in there and you'll get asked four or five questions and you'll get led to a beer that you're probably going to like based on the answers to your questions. And that's unique because you guys understand what you have on your shelf.
Well, you know, we're a bunch of geeks that like to drink beer, so it works out well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Cool. Very cool.
What I guess I like to find out what some of the local brewers have going on in terms of, you know, trends for beers they're going after, maybe who's hitting the ball out of the park, who's merging, like Founders got completely taken over by their Spanish partners.
They did,
stuff like that. You know, that kind, in my opinion, has a pretty big impact on whether or not I want to buy a beer.
Yeah, and there has been some shakeup. Like you said, founders with the Mohana something group, you know, taking majority ownership. That was kind of a surprise, but, you know, most people are actually a little bit more okay with it than even I expected. Back when Goose Island was, you know, the first big brewery to, you know, be acquired, I think it was shock from everyone at that point. Where now it's become a bit more of regular practice, and I think people are a little, you know, a little less afraid. As long as your friend is still the guy making the beer in the back of the house, you know, people are a little less freaked out a bit.
But Goose Island changed. Their beer changed as soon as Anheuser-Busch took them.
Yep, and so
Leinenkugel changed as soon as Miller took them.
Unfortunately, Leinenkugel big time changed.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to be a couple-year process to see what happens there. So far, things are looking good. They haven't really dropped anyone from the brewery side. Pretty much everyone who worked there still works there, which is a really good sign moving forward.
Yeah.
I actually got to talk with the rep about their upcoming release schedule for the next year. I won't give away anything, but I am very excited, actually.
If you just tuned in, this is the Grillin' Guys radio program, heard on this station every week. We're joined this week by Katie Spade from Siciliano's Market, and we're just talking about trends for beer in Michigan and around the country, because Siciliano's actually brings in beer from all over the world, not just Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
You have a Michigan area, but you've got a lot of national and international brands there.
Definitely. Our Michigan section grows every year, just kind of by nature. I mean, you want to support your neighbors and your friends, but we still really try to focus on beers that are outside of Michigan as well, because there are some breweries making awesome beers that with the whole, you know, local first movement kind of got forgotten about for a while. Mm-hmm. So we really try to encourage people to drink beers from not only other parts of this country, but other countries in general. Especially our German selection, we really try to carry as much as we can. The amount of imports that have been coming in are definitely lower. It decreases a little bit every year. Hopefully someday that'll change and we'll start getting more imports back in.
But is there just more availability of domestic beers and the importers can't compete? Or
yeah.
What do you think it is?
It's a vicious cycle where there's more local beer, so people are drinking less imports. So the distributors are bringing in less imports, so people drink less imports, and just round and round.
I see.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it's kind of unfortunate, but you have to, you know, you have to put your money where people are buying it.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you don't want beers to sit on your shelf for months and months at
right.
a time. I don't understand, and that's, it's a rhetorical question, but I don't understand how you guys do it. Yeah, I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds of beers you have there that they don't get old. And, I mean, you guys just move this stuff. It's crazy to me, the selection that you have.
It's quite a process. It's quite a challenge keeping on top of everything. Every once in a while, something will slip by us, but with 1,000-plus beers, we really do our best.
Right.
You know.
Right. Well, Katie, coming up in the next segment, I want to talk about if the person, the average guy that walks into the store, maybe the three or four things that he needs to have an answer to a question. So what are the questions that you're going to ask to try to direct him or her to go to the proper type of beer? Because that's interesting to me, and it really, you know, at $3 a can, I don't want to make too many mistakes, right? But anyway, so you listen to the Grillin' Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
You got down there, so what you want? A one bourbon, one scotch, one beer. Well, I ain't seen my baby since I don't know when. I've been drinking bourbon, whiskey, scotch and gin.